It's real and I'm going to shout it, and the devil can't make me doubt it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's something going on that I like to see going on. Hallelujah. We had a wedding yesterday, and we're suffering the aftermath of it. The delay, what do you call that flight delay stuff? Jet lag, that's the word. We got the jet lag. I see the parents over here, they lagging jet. Beautiful ceremony, everything went good. These young guys were dressed up complimentary to the bride and the groom. Hallelujah. If I had one life to offer to Jesus, I would do it unreservedly. And if I had 1,000 lives, I'd do it unreservedly. I've come too far down this journey to think about other alternatives. 46 years ago, I pitched my tent toward Canaan. I watched other people pitch theirs towards Sodom. The Bible says we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust. The best way to kill something is to starve it. If you've got a temptation, if you've got a provocation, and you've had hands laid on you and you've had all kinds of prayers prayed for you and you still deal with it, then start starving it. If watching the wrong television programs is a problem to you, then start cutting the, starve it. Anything that's starved long enough is going to die. Habits, attitudes, whatever. Well, that's not what I'm going to preach about. The power of the Word. Can anybody bear witness that you know personally from experience that there's power in this book? Anybody going through situations, even this morning, that you need to have the lid lifted and the cage sprung, you need to have deliverance and you need to have help from the Word of God. Anybody? For 2 days I've wrestled, not in gloom or doom, but knowing that there'd be some 1, 2, 10, I don't know, people in this building that are going to need what is going to be said this morning. Now, I know I'm going to need it, and I know what's going to be said. And I hope when the service is over, you will know what was said, and you will be helped. Ezekiel 37. Now, don't get all cross-eyed. Oh, I've heard that. There's always something else in it. Because God is the author of it. I'm not going to be preaching on prophecy. I'm not going to be preaching on dead bones coming together, shake, rattle, and roll. I'm going to be preaching on the power of the Word. There are no two extremes in the Word of God any greater than the two extremes in this passage. In one extreme, there is visible to the eye an impossible dilemma. Hello? An impossible. Common sense tells you when bones are bleached out, it's over. Hello? It's over. Send a telegram to your friends and say, yeah, they're dead. Impossible. On this side is a preacher. Bones dead, preacher alive. Preacher, I'm giving you an assignment. Ashakabakaya. Well, I'm your servant. Lord, what assignment do you want me to have? Bring life to those bones. Preacher, valley full of bones, very dry. The challenge is by this little preacher, let's say he's 5'10", 165 pounds. Just for example. He looks at this valley of bones and he says, I have got, it's on my shoulders. And the answer comes, you're the messenger. That's all you are. Don't count. Don't put too much on you. You are the messenger. You don't create the message. You don't manufacture the message. You just convey the message. I can't save a one of you, but I can convey the Savior to you. I can tell you how, what you expected. The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. There's no oasis. There's no vacationing spot. The streams are not filled with bass. It's a valley, and he is put in the middle of it. If he looks north, there's bones. South, there's bones. East and west, there's bones. There's nobody saying, it's going to be better. He's by himself with God. I don't know about y'all, but this fed me when I was studying it. And caused me to pass by them round. I want you, Ezekiel, to study the case. No impulses. Things. No, that's the great problem in Christianity. People do everything by impulse. Well, my heart's fluttering, so I better go get saved. You need to get saved because conviction has got you in its grip. If you get saved on an impulse, you're going to backslide on an impulse. If you're easily swayed, you're going to be swayed in and you're going to be swayed out. And there were very many in the open valley. I want to paint this picture impossible. And lo, they were very dry. Now, I know this is talking about prophecy, so don't get all mixed up. I'm not lost. But I'm not preaching prophecy. I'm preaching the power of the Word. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Or is there any hope for them? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. He said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Prophesy, preach. It's not no cryptic stuff, no mumbo jumbo. Tell them bones something. Don't ask them. Don't suggest to them. Prophesy over them. Give them no choice. Bring the word heavy upon them. And say unto them, see, the preacher doesn't have the privilege of selecting his message if he's true. He is assigned. I might speculate your needs. I might guess what your needs are. I might think what your needs are. But God, the Holy Ghost, knows the hair on your head. He knows the things you're battling with. And if the man of God that's in charge of that church will put his knees on the rug somewhere or other in the time between we met the last time and this time, you will be illuminated. And people will sit on the pew and say, how in the world did the preacher know that about me? He did know it about you. God knew it about you, and God gave it to him. I'm enjoying every second of this. Said, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Oh, Alligood, Woolard, Jethro, Smith, Jones, whatever you are, hear the word of the Lord. He said in the last days there will be a famine, not of the word, of the hearing of the word. Oh, Jesus, help me. Thus saith the Lord God. That's the only shelter that we have when we minister to people. You don't go out and say, thus saith the Alligood Church of God. Thus saith the Baptist denomination. No. Your safety platform is thus saith the Lord. We need to know what sin is and tell our friends this is what God says about sin. We need to find out what God expects us in living and say to our friend, this is not denominational aspects, this is God. And don't try to explain it away. Don't, when you give somebody a heavy plank, don't try to lift the load up. Don't make excuses for the word of God. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, unto the bones now. They're scattered. There's no unity there. There's no cohesiveness there. There's an ear bone or what you know. There's a shoulder bone. They're just scattered. It makes it even more impossible. I'm trying to tell somebody here this morning that your case is not impossible. I'm trying to tell somebody here this morning that whatever you got your back against the wall with, the God that brought life to these bones is going to bring life and help to you. There's reason to hope. There's not reason to be in despair and dismay. You've got every reason in the world to hope because there's one seated upon the throne that can back his word up. Am I talking to you? My words shall not return unto me void. There's life in the word of God. I'm going to be reading down through verse 10, so bear with me. I'll get there as well. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Amen. I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you. This is a miracle. A miracle is something that cannot be explained. Your case may be in need of a miracle. Where this afternoon you call your friends up and say, I just want to tell you that it couldn't have happened if it hadn't been for God. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. That's the ultimate aim right there. Not to know what the pastor is and who the people are and what denomination, what church. No, to know that God is God. So, he didn't say, I'm not, you know, Moses said, I'm not good of speech, and, you know, all these people give all these kind of stuff. But this preacher, so I prophesied. As I was commanded and as I prophesied, as I preached, there was a noise. Not like it was on Sunday morning in Alligood after. Do I hear any kind of noise out there? And behold, a shaking. Anybody got a little shake in them? And the bones came together. See, before your miracle, you got to get things in order. The knee bone is laying over yonder by the shoulder bone, and there's some ribs over here and whatever. And when they preached, things begin to get in order. There's a lot of churches that have got people sitting upon the pews, a neck bone sitting over here and a foot bone sitting over there. Disarray, disorder. No cohesiveness, no union. But preaching the word of God will put you in your place. I don't mean that ugly. You will find your place in the body of Christ by the preached word. Bone to his bone. What'd you say your name was? I'm the rib bone. I like you. You nice. I'm the hip bone. Well, a while ago you were way over yonder, and you what? Well, I heard the preacher, and I found my place, and my place is right by you. Am I making sense to anybody? I'm going to verse 8. When I beheld, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. That's wonderful. As he beheld, as he observed, miracles begin to take. And skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. They were together. Listen to me carefully. They were together, but there was no life in them. You don't leave a congregation. You can get us together, but don't leave us dead. Because we are rot right back again in the mess that we were in before you put it, you got us together. Put life in us. There was no breath in them. Sermon number two. Listen to me now. Sermon number one brought them together. Am I talking to anybody? The preached word will bring us together. The preached word will let us see who we are. It will bring us down to a place of humility, and we. But there's another sermon. See, being together is not enough. There's still no life in them. Look, prophesy unto the wind. The preached word will bring us together, but the Spirit will lift us up. It's not enough just to be brought together because you still are not mobile. You still are not able to move and maneuver and do what you know God wants you to do. You've got to be brought up. He hath raised us up and seated us together in heavenly places, or in the heavens, heavenlies. I was dead in trespasses and sin. Y'all not getting half out of this what I got when I was studying. Maybe it was just for me, I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to find my place. Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, talk to the wind. He talked to bones. Now he's talking to the wind. If the local ministerial association would have come by, they'd have said, let's have him committed. The man a while ago was talking to bones, and now he's talking to the wind. Say to the wind, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied, I preached as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And guess what? They stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now I could close my Bible up and go home and feel comfortable that I had presented the Word of God. Anybody in agreement with me? But I'm not going to do that. Father, I offer prayer to you, supplication to you. We've read this passage that is so powerful. And we pray before your throne today that the power that lay inherent in these verses would be released today. And we would be strengthened and convicted and converted and changed and delivered, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say a couple of things. I've got enough intelligence to know that this is speaking of prophecy. But I've also got enough intelligence to know that prophecy and the scriptures have a prophetic meaning, and they have a spiritual meaning. I'm not concerned about the prophetic meaning. I don't get all bug out about, is it going to be this, that, other. That'll take care of itself. But I see spirituality here. I can't help you if I identify who Gog and Magog, that's not going to help me one bit in the world. But if I'm back with my back against the wall, and I prayed every prayer that could be prayed that I was taught in school, If I call on my prayer warriors and nothing will happen, I need something beyond Gog and Magog. I need something that will tell me God brought this nation out of bondage and God can bring you out of bondage. Amen? That's what the Bible's for. It's the liberator. It's not a history book. There's power in the Word of God. Now hear me. Without the Word of God, without the Spirit of God, these are nouns and pronouns and adverbs and verbs on a piece of paper. I know it's God's Word. I know God is the author of it, but it is dead. It comes life when life from God comes in it, and the nouns and the verbs and pronouns become the Word of God. You can take this book in a history class at community college and some professor can stand up there and tell you all the stuff about this, and he's telling the truth, and he's got illustrations, everything, but it's not going to produce life in nobody. But you let a cornfield preacher come up there that's been on his knees through the night, that understands what God's word means, he can stand and speak a few words and life becomes powerful and life becomes liberator. Let me tell you something right now. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are life. Amen. The word of God produces life. The word of God circumcises us, cuts us back, but then it produces deliverance and life. Am I talking to anybody? I know this is talking about the mass return of Jews to Israel, and we're in that strategy right now, and our church is helping speed that up. But that's not my sermon today. My sermon is the power of the word of God. And I read to you an illustration given by God, authored by God, to show you impossibilities become possibilities. Things that were hopeless become things that are hoped for. Things that are deliverance becomes deliverable. Amen. I want to know the God that can make life come back in my bones. I want to know the God that can make me stand back on my feet when life has put me down. I want to know the God that can put nurture back in my bones when I don't know how to find nurture. When my back is against the wall, when my vision is dim, when my hope is dead. Give me somebody that can tell me that there's a God seated upon the throne that can put me back in order again. I'm telling you, somebody here is going to be put back in order. Can somebody glorify the name of Jesus? Don't tell me what God used to do. Don't tell me what God's going to do. Tell me what God can do this morning. My God, I want him to walk out of this church, out of these pews and out of these aisles. I want him to pass by you and put his hand upon you and liberate you and deliver you. Somebody say, welcome, Holy Spirit. I know that not only is this prophetic, dealing with all the end time events, but it deals with life and death. It deals with a situation that Jesus illustrated in John chapter 11. When Mary and Martha called for him, he goes to Bethany, and there his friend is dead, buried. Been dead for 4 days. And Jesus walks to the tomb. Jesus don't say, would you please come out? He doesn't say, how would you like to be liberated? He orders a command. My God, we've got to get back to commanding things. Boy, that's braggadocious. No, that's obedience. The reason why there's so little commanding going on in our churches is because there's so little faith going on in our churches, so little belief going in our churches, and intimidation going in. Well, suppose I command that person to walk and they don't walk. Then so you know what you pre-R-I, finish it, P-R-I-D-E, pride. You ain't worried about the man can't get up. You're worried about how you're going to look when he don't get up. If it was real, oh God, I'm going home, covering my head under the mattress because he didn't get up. If he didn't get up next Sunday morning, if he comes back, get down there and tell him to get up. Tell him to get up until he gets up. Tell him to be free until he is free. Don't suggest, don't beg, don't plead. Tell him what to do. My God, we've got the authority to tell. Say unto this mountain. He didn't say pray unto this mountain. The Lord, the Master said, say unto this mountain, be thou removed. What things that soever you say, whatever, what things, are you hearing me? Somebody get a hold of what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Hallelujah to God. Oh, somebody praise him. So I'm calling the message the power. There's power in the word of God. Moses stands before the most powerful man on the planet Earth, Pharaoh. Moses stuttered, bad speech, but God said, go tell Pharaoh, thus saith God, let my people go. Moses is not giving a Moses order, he's giving a God order. Don't lose sight of that. The monkey's not on your back. You just convey what God, have enough stamina. Have enough fortitude to convey what God said. God's going to heal somebody. Somebody just, God's going, I felt that right then in my spirit. Shadabakaya, bandadabakaya. Somebody agree with me? Shalabakaya, salalabakaya. So there's the preacher. It seemed in the text, it seemed lopsided. It seemed unbalanced. Oh, this vast valley of dry bones scattered, no life in them, bleached out in the sun. And the master says to the preacher, I want you to prophesy, preach over these bones. Can they live again? Oh, God. Impossible. Something like speech from a man's mind and mouth is going to be heard over this valley of dry bones. And I'm supposed to believe that phrases that come out of the preacher's mouth is going to be powerful enough to bring life back to dead. But that's what I'm supposed to believe. That's what I believe. Hello? I believe it. You say if you believe that, let me tell you something else I believe. I believe there was three young men in a fire furnace that walked around singing a song, praising God and glorifying God, and come out when the king called them to come out. I believe there was a man that spent the night in the lion's den and put his head on old Leo's shoulder and slept like a baby. I believe these things, my friend. I believe that there was a Red Sea that looked formidable, but when the man of God raised the rod of God up, the Red Sea rolled back and the people marched over on dry. I believe there's a Jordan River that helped the people out of the land of promise, but it rolled back. I believe that I was a sinner one day, but God reached out in my spirit and soul and pulled me out of sin, put me back on my feet again, and said, you're never going to be perfect, but your job is to strive after perfection. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to slip and fall. But every time you slip and fall, I'm going to be there to pick you up. If it's seven times in one day, I'll pick you up seven times. How many here has ever needed to be picked back up again? Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm half a page one. Are y'all going to give me just... Prophesy. Do something that you're familiar with. I'm saying we have lost the credibility of the Word of God. Familiarity breeds contempt. I remember when verses used to intrigue me. And I can read those verses now and yawn. Am I talking to you? I can remember the first time I'd hear these biblical stories. Whoo! That's in the Bible? 45 years down the road, I'm reading, yeah, that's in the Bible. Yeah, did you? It's wrong. The preacher, I cannot disassociate myself from the message that I'm preaching. He's going to tell him, see, in what I'm trying to preach to you, there's power in the Word of God. Power in the Word of God. Don't underestimate the power of the Word of God. The preached word may seem insignificant. Philip went to Samaria. You remember Acts chapter 8? Preached Jesus. Well, if you're going to preach Jesus, you're going to preach repentance. You're going to preach deliverance. You're going to preach salvation. You're going to preach the fundamental walks, be holy. You've got a lot to preach when you preach Jesus. Forgiveness. And the Bible said there was great joy in the city. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? You can stand the word up against any problem. Put your mountains here, all your problems, all your bills, all your disappointments, all your frustrations, and put the word of God over here. And look at the balance on the scales, and it may tip toward all your problems, but this is what's going to bring deliverance. We oh, I feel God. The simplicity of preaching. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. Paul goes into Rome, that citadel of sin and corruption. No place on the earth any more corrupt than Rome was at that time. And Paul goes there and says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Inasmuch as it's within me, I am ready. Amen. He don't go with PhDs. He don't go with seminar training. He goes with the raw, unadulterated word of God, the way we Pentecostal people used to believe it. We got sophisticated, learned a few sentences, learned a few whatevers. Let's come back to the raw. Let's come back to where we make our people shudder under our bad grammar. But they can sit on the pew and say, he might not have good grammar, but he's got good God. I feel God in here. When I say I believe God's calling us back to our old paths, I don't mean some type of antiquated. I mean he's calling us back to relationship. How can two walk together unless they agree? God's not going to walk with me until I agree with him about sin. I got to agree with that. I can't argue with him about sin. He's the one that established the parameters. He's the one that gave the description what is sin, what is not sin. It's the transgression of the law. I've got to agree with God. I've got to agree with God what he says about a holy life. Be you holy, for I am holy. I've got to agree with that. He will not walk with me. Love not the world. I've got to agree with that. It might burn and sting, and it might insult me, and it might bother me. It might make me feel like I'm a lose out with the in crowd. I don't care about the in crowd. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. Somebody better hear that. Look like a cross-eyed mule at a fence trying to figure out what side of the fence you on. Some people have been saved for 49 years and they still hadn't got their mind made up that they're going to serve Jesus. Honey, you've come too far down the road now to be messing around like that. But what would people say about me if I go fanatical? You're here this morning, that means you already have gone fanatical. They sang a song back in the day when I was running around, I'm in with the in crowd. I'm out with the in crowd. There's one who is worthy of us pleasing him. Nobody else, no lesser God, Jehovah God Almighty. We shall behold him, Dottie Rambo said, in his glory. Am I talking to you? It seems silly. Let me get back. The preacher's job was to boldly say to that valley of, don't look at the response. That's where I look at vain. I can hear that voice in the, y'all just settle down. I can hear that voice in the back of my mind say, most of them aren't interested one bit in what you're saying. That's a lie. Some of you are interested. I can hear that voice say, why don't you just close shop and go on home and endure it through the night and be back this evening and give them a few more limp words. I ain't going to do it. You think you got a tiger by the tail? You come back tonight. He comes up and he said, he understood, don't mealy mouth. Well, if I preach against sin, I'm going to lose them. If you don't preach against sin, you're going to lose you. Hello? It seems silly to the prophet of God to challenge this boneyard. It seems crazy for you to challenge that ailment that you've got, that problem, that dilemma, that verdict from the doctor. Boy, it's amazing how that drumbeat can roll out. This is what you have. This is what you've got. You know what? God gave me an understanding the other day. I said, I'm not going to deny that I've got Parkinson's, but I am going to defy it. I got some stronger gears than what I'm traveling in right now. And when I need to, I'll drop down in one of them. I'm going uphill right now. Am I talking to anybody? I'm going uphill right now, but I tell you what, there's going to be the break in that hill, and I'm going downhill. Woo! Anybody know what I'm talking about? Somebody sang the song, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. That implies that there's a smooth side. Hallelujah. And when you start going down that smooth side, you got a gear that you better have some brakes. Does anybody feel what I'm feeling? The preached word will move you into your proper place in the body. Amen. And there ain't no place better than Alligood Church of God place. And that old man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel God. Bones begin to find their place. They begin to come together. Ezekiel was told to speak to the bones. And here's the dilemma. Don't let what you see intimidate you from what you believe. The devil is going to always make sure you see the impossibility. But the scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look upon the fields. Abraham, what are you doing? I'm looking at the sand. Quit looking at the sand, look at the sky. 18 years a woman was bowed over with a physical impairment. Spending her years looking at worms and bugs, dust on the floor. Can't look at the heavens. But Jesus come. Woman, thou art loose. Now she don't have to look at bugs scurrying around. She can look at the sky. She can look at the heavens. She can be liberated. It seems silly for you to challenge that barrier that resists you, to say to that mountain, be thou removed. But the word flowing out of our lips becomes the power of God. And the preached word will bring you into your place in the body. Amen. My job is to bring the word of God to your head, your brain, and your hearing, and your head will tell you where you belong. And if you have any trouble recognizing that voice, I can talk to you after church. Bones begin to find, hello, y'all got strangely quiet on me now. Am I still preaching? Bones begin to find their place. Structure begin to be seen. It looked organized. And Ezekiel was told, now, see, please don't lose sight of what I'm getting ready to say. This needs to be got in our mind. Amen. The word of God will bring you together. The word of God will bring you together. It will cause friction to be seen. But the word of God brings you together, and the spirit of God raises you up. The word don't operate by itself. The word, I'm not saying it can't, but it does. It operates with the conjunction with the Holy Ghost. The word will enlighten you, illuminate you, but the spirit of God. You come to church on Sunday night, and whoever's preaching preaches under the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you feel convicted and you feel warm. But the Spirit of God is the one who will bring you to the altar. He will convict you. Am I talking to you tonight? Ezekiel was told to speak to the bones. Hear, Alligood Boneyard, hear the word of God. I'm not saying that cutesy. The great need of our hour is to hear the word of God. Hear the miracle working power. Hear what God can do. Hear God bragged upon. Hear God exalted. We've exalted our physical problems, our financial problems, our heartaches and our dilemmas. We've exhausted our resources. We've gone to the arm of flesh to try to find out how we can survive when all the time Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When the bones came together, I'm wrapping up. When they came together, the man of God saw tissue and flesh and sinews, even as he was preaching. Now they're structured and they're organized, and the Spirit of God says, preach again. Preach about the Holy Ghost. Don't forget and miss what took place from uselessness, ineffectiveness, to structure. Now they stand up and they are a vast army. I'm trying to close. Let me push this before our mind. We're not doing the will of God when we're not evangelizing. I don't care who we are. I don't care what our status is. If we're not involved in trying to reach people for Jesus Christ, we are missing the mark. I knew that went over. They're standing up. They're a vast army. And I know that this is a prophetic passage, and I know it's talking about the restoration of Israel. I understand all that stuff. But I absolutely know that this lesson has a for the churches, and that this message is what the closing of this age. The Jews are going to come back like they are right now into Palestine. But that's not the issue. As while that's going on, the church is going to come out of the caves. Do you hear? If I didn't have optimism about that, I let the other stuff take it. If God's operating in the Middle East, he's got to operate in the Near East and Far East. And God is not going to bless the Jews without blessing the Gentiles. And I'm saying, even so, Lord Jesus, pour it out. Pour it out. Amen. Now, the two things are taking shape that will be a radical change in the role of the church. Number one, the word of God will once more be preached with power. God gave me that. The word of God will, young and old, they're going to come out of the woodwork preaching the word of God. Preaching the word of God. Amen. There's a new tenor coming. There's a new voice coming down the road. Even in the old voices, there's a new enthusiasm. There's a new challenge. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing. The word of God will once more be preached with power. The word of God will smite the church, and the word will produce its intended results. Number two, the Spirit of God will raise the sanctified body up. We don't climb out of this hole by ourselves. This takes the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Would you stand with me?